you gotta act like a bitch when I'm with you.
There it is. We're locked in. We got the Action Bronson.
That's my boy right there.
Greg's a wannabe Action Bronson.
No, he's copying my fat ass. You gotta remember, I'm his elder. Taught that fucking punk what was real and what wasn't.
Okay.
Homie Cash 16.
God, it feels like 60, but it's only 16.
We got a tight crew today.
We have a very tight crew today.
And we're all a little bit of a food coma.
A little bit.
After that.
Of course.
Beast mode food thing we just had.
Yeah, I've been drinking since 3.
Really? Is that what?
James? A little confession there, James. Had a little head start on us.
We've got Craig Kimberly here.
Thank you very much.
He's got B Dizzle.
You know it. Yes, we do.
B Dizzle.
B Dizzle.
We got Jay Sizzle.
Jay Sizzle.
James Eves is here.
That's it.
And your host, Joey Shimatarao. And we're here at Cape Angie Clay.
Once again.
Two times in a row now, right?
That's right.
It's a back-to-back.
Back-to-back. And the reason we're here, it was a celebration of James's coronation.
Joey's new grill at Cape Angie Clay.
That's right.
Joey got a new grill.
In the name of you.
I gave him $75 so he could store it here.
So he could store it here. Because he keeps one at everyone's house.
I had to reimburse him the $75. I bought a grill for $75. Can I store it at Cape Angie Clay? And can you give me the $75?
Let's talk about how it happened, though. How it happened was you both said I want to get like a Weber performer.
Love the performer.
Greg and James.
Greg's a performer.
So there was one that came up, and I texted both of you. And I says, this one looks like a great grill. It's a first generation Weber Performer Deluxe, which it has the stainless steel table, and it's like it's just a timeless beauty.
It is a classic.
It's a classic.
And the exterior of the hood and the base is like in mint condition.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
There's not a single
stainless
spot
steel hatch
on this
door.
Thing.
Beautiful.
Completely gorgeous, And so a lot of like Weber purists, the collectors, will seek out these older models because they don't make them as good as they used to make. I mean, they're still built well, but they don't make them with stainless steel anymore and stuff. So we saw this. It was $125 on Craigslist, and it happened to be in Gloucester. And I sent both of you guys the links. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to follow up on it. Like 5 days goes by. I see it still listed on Craigslist. I contact the guy. I'm like, is that grill still available? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you know, it's going to be a gift, so, you know, I'd like to buy it for a little less.
Gift.
Right. Well.
You got to say to get the deal, man.
Ball busting.
Well, it was for a friend. You know, I knew you guys didn't want to pay, you know, whatever. So we got the grill, and then I bring it.
Get the grill. You go pick it up. You wheel and deal with them, right?
Yeah, wheel and deal with them. Got it for a good price. Brought it to James, and I was praying that neither one of you guys wanted it because I wanted it for myself, but I had to offer it for you guys first. Bring it by James. James immediately says, "I'll take it."
Nice.
Yeah.
And, as he should.
Yeah, as he should, and I'm happy about that. So.
I just want to know, now that I'm in this grilling cult of yours, when do I get my tinfoil hat? You've got tinfoil for life.
You can make one.
But you cleaned it up. There was a little.
I cleaned it up halfway. I've been super busy at work, but I knew it was important that it at least be semi presentable for the evening. So I cleaned it up halfway. The stuff that was visible from above. I scrubbed pretty hardcore today.
How long did you spend on it?
Maybe about an hour.
Really? That much time?
Yeah, about an hour, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Nice, that's good work.
But it was, I mean, that thing was in the kind of shape that you didn't, if you didn't
want
to. Well,
that black gook that was on the top took a little bit of time to get.
Oh, yeah, on the stainless steel.
Yeah, melted plastic or whatever.
Did you use
Bartender's Keeper? Yep.
And you can't
We got a jar of the squeezy Bartender's Keeper, not the powder.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Doesn't work as well.
Why do I need them to put water into it for me?
Charge you for the water weight.
Yeah, I got a water weight thing. I got probably a quarter of a can of Bartender's Keeper in that jug. That little squeezy thing that they gave me. So I won't do that again.
I got you. So anyway,
but it did the job.
We're gonna have pictures on this. Somebody took pictures while we're grilling.
Yeah, we took a few.
I took pictures when grilling.
So tonight's menu, we did. Rick Dowsett. He's not here anymore, but he brought some linguica.
Yes, that was very tasty.
James did some steak tips.
Marinated in Ken's, or actually Sweet Baby Ray's original.
Sweet Baby Ray's original. And I brought the scallops, the day boat scallops, and we seared up.
That was sweet.
So we are all, but for dessert, Craig bought the VC's peanut butter cups that say defense on them, and then you open
because you're going to need it this year. Oh, sweet Pat fan that you are.
He's dying. He's been dying.
I'm going to pee in a cup for you and give it to you, and you can give it over to your buddies at the Steelers complex.
You're going to loan some urine?
Yeah.
That's actually probably well needed. Very well needed. And we'll send over a counselor on how to not murder citizens of the United States while you're playing football.
Oh, okay.
Serial killers, you know.
It's like 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I got you a little defense Reese cup there, which has graphics on the Reese cups, right? What did it say?
Touchdown and tailgating pro. It was on the other one. So I imagine they all have different...
Yeah, clearly not meant for Craig.
Crack open another pack of those. Let's see.
Opening the pack, and I got.
So this brings, you know, this brings up the.
I got go for two.
Ooh, will you be doing a lot of that?
And I got go for two. I got two go for twos.
Wow, that'll be the 4 points that they score in the first 4 weeks.
As far as mass produced candy, like candy bars and stuff, to me Reese's peanut butter cups are at the top of the.
I think they're the pinnacle. Ever since I was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
Or something around there as a kid. Whenever I first had a Reese cup, I was like, "Wow, that's freaking magic."
Yeah.
Want to hear something weird?
That is magic. What's that?
I don't really like peanut butter candy.
I don't either.
Anything?
Have you ever had a Reese cup?
Yeah.
Sweetened. I mean, like, I'll eat it because it's got chocolate on it, but sweetened peanut butter.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Like Butterfingers. I hate Butterfingers.
All right. So, anyways, candy love here. Big news here as I brought the defense cups to you for a reason. Mm-hmm. Looks like the noose might catch Brady after all here.
Did you read anything about it? Do you know any of the details?
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't hear any details. Tell us the details.
Well, the details are that now, second time around,
is this they have appeals court or something?
Yes. They lost the appeal basically, and once again, the four games have been reinstated. But that's actually not the end of it. He can continue to drag this out. He can appeal once again, and they got a little clause built in there to where basically they didn't throw everything at him, so that if he does appeal, they can backdoor and try to catch him on, say, lying about the cell phone, not cooperating, whatever. But there's a huge chance that he may in fact serve 2 to 4 games. Right now it's 4 games.
Probably not gonna be 4 games.
I think that the NFL knew that this was happening. They gave them 3 out of 4 home games during those first 4 games, which is not an easy thing to finagle in a schedule. So that kind of tells me that they knew this was going to happen and they wanted to soften the blow a little bit against the Pats. Because the Pats are the golden boys of the NFL, I don't think that...
Wait, 3 or 4 home games?
Yeah, 3 out of the 4 suspended games are home games. Which, how often does that happen the first 4 weeks? Do you have 3 home games?
You're
out
saying
of 4?
That softens the blow
because
it's going to be
because they're going to be home. They're going to be at home.
So it's going to be an easier game for them because they have
home. So Garoppolo will have to negotiate a home crowd and have their support versus going on the road somewhere and, you know, fucking deer in the headlights type thing. So actually, I mean, he's more capable than deer in the headlights. But so I think that they've known this was going to happen for a while. And even before the judge made the call. There's so much backdoor stuff going on with these things that we have no idea about, but...
Craig knows a lot about the backdoor
I'm
stuff.
I'm shocked.
Yes.
BJ, I didn't even know that this was on the table.
I've trained you well.
I didn't even know this was on the table.
Yeah.
Like, this came...
Oh, yeah, no,
came out, the, this came out of the
it's
blue.
It's been on the table for 6 months, ever since the season ended.
That the NFL said that they were going to pursue...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm surprised that they would do this. Like, because, and I say, like... Look, what are they gonna benefit from this?
31 other coaches and teams patting him on the back. That's what they're gonna benefit from.
Because of jealousy.
Well, you're in this market. So we're everyone here looks at it different. Even though I'm not a Pats fan, I look at it different. But you got to understand what the rest of the league is looking at. Everybody's read the text. Everybody's heard the testimony. Everybody knows the details. Everybody knows that something happened. Something was going on. Shenanigans were happening.
It's a fucking people jealousy thing. Every fucking other.
It's a process.
Every other. Aaron Rodgers. They all said they fucking did the same fucking thing. No one is vilifying Aaron Rodgers. They said they did it.
Aaron Rodgers didn't get caught doing anything.
He says, I like my balls fucking pumped up to fucking to unbelievable levels. I always have them bumped up.
Who doesn't?
So what? So you say? So the point is that look, they could vilify Brady and drag this out and everything.
Point is, nobody's ever doing anything wrong, Joey, until they get caught. That's something my dad.
He said he did it.
My dad taught me at a young age. That was one of my great memories of him. Was you're never doing anything wrong until you get caught. And yes. Other people do things. Other people do things, but they don't get caught.
Steelers, you know,
you got caught. So basically, it was beyond the getting caught, though. It was impeding the investigation. It was destroying the phone. It was lying, lying about certain things. So that's really what it comes down to is that if honestly, if Brady would have taken like the game a year ago suspension or something, all this would have gone away.
I don't think it has anything to do with blowing up footballs.
I think this is all for ratings.
I think this is all has to do with the game that they had against the Ravens when they were doing the illegal substitute. They were doing these substitutions with the tight ends.
It goes back beyond that. You know, it goes to Spygate. It goes to Spygate. It goes to them lying about injured players and who was injured and who wasn't. I mean, basically. You're a fool to think that Belichick, along with any other coach, but specifically Belichick, will do absolutely anything in his power to get the upper hand, period. That's what he does. That's why they've been convicted, charged, fined of multiple offenses, because they will do whatever it takes to win. And Brady was the same way. And he knew it, and he got caught, and then he lied about it, and then so here we are. So, you know. He's going to have to face the Piper at some point, and, you know, nobody's going to get him out of this one.
No, I don't have a timer. Now you want the timer.
Look at it. He's deflated. If you had podcast cam right now, Joey looks like I just told him he got suspended, and he has to spend the weekend at school.
But we do have to move on to his
topic.
That's
what I have to do.
We have to move on to BJ's topic, because he's going to bail in the middle of a podcast, which I think is exactly what you're saying.
So wait, all right, so BJ.
So
let's hear about you. This is how many weeks left do you have with school?
All right, I got
to graduate from high school.
I have 9 days of classes left.
Three half days of finals.
That's it.
What's the last day of actual schoolwork, whether it's homework or school days that you have to go to? Not like
a week from Friday.
A week from Friday.
Yeah, so it's like May.
It's 2 weeks out.
So less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's nine days.
Wow. And then your college career begins. Preseason.
Yeah.
So it's pre-game.
Pre-game.
So you've gone to an all-male school, St. John's Prep, for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it going to be like when you go to a school, college, and there's going to be women
ass
there?
Everywhere. Yeah, let's just call it what it is. Ass.
I'm going to be a very respectful young male.
That smirk on your face of lies. Of course you are going to be respectful.
No, but like, do you think, okay, here's a question. Do you think, like, the going to an all-guys school, or was it ever for you like, oh, this kind of sucks because there's no girls here?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It was absolutely. Kind of, there's times where it's like, damn, I wish there was
a the guys that go to Fenwick.
What's the ratio? Someone to talk to besides your homie.
What's the ratio of girls to guys at Fenwick, do you know?
Oh, there's way more girls than dudes. There's like 35 dudes and like 80 girls. Like, it's
ridiculous.
Nuts. Yeah.
So that's why your buddy Will get, you know.
Well, yeah, kind of. And
we all know he's got no game.
Yeah, no game. Yeah. No game. We've been working on it for years, but
he's like football on Wednesday.
He needs to try a new sport or something.
So now, do you have any big plans for this as a graduating senior? Any big plans for the summer?
well, I'm going to be working a lot, and then I guess I don't. I guess I'm kind of just playing it by ear, see what's going on. I don't have any, like, big trips planned or anything yet, so.
I've been coaching him. I told him, so I told him, you know, when spring break, when he's in college, don't even consider any place else except for Cancun, Mexico, because no drinking age.
Wow. That's an uncle is that, looking out.
That's a really good idea.
Is that good advice?
That's pretty solid advice.
Where would you send him?
I would tell him to volunteer for the homeless.
So I come live at your house for a few days.
Come wash my dishes.
Yeah.
I've never been to a Cancun. That sounds absolutely ridiculously awesome.
Well, we should all go when for spring break.
It was Fort Lauderdale.
I think so.
Huh?
When I was a kid, it was Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, but was a drinking age there? Was the drinking age 18?
When I was a kid, you could drink. Yeah, the drinking age meant nothing.
Meant nothing.
They didn't have IDs back then.
You walked into a liquor store, you said, "Can I have a pack of cigarettes and a bottle of booze?" And they said, "Sure." And are you of legal age? And I would say yes. And then they'd go over, get the pack of cigarettes and the bottle of booze, and bring it back to me. I'd give them the money, and I'd leave. They'd ask you, "Are you legal?" And I'd say yes.
That was it.
That was it.
So you're going to Syracuse?
I am.
In the fall. Are you going to work while you're in school?
Probably not.
Probably not. So you're going to have to work real hard this summer to get enough money to get you through?
Yeah.
So there's fraternities.
There's fraternities.
And what is, you would tell me this, what is Syracuse ranked as far as?
They're like top 25 for like Greek life nationally. So it's a big deal.
So
they're ranked higher for party school though.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like top.
Yeah, well, because what happens is there's all these schools that there's all these like small schools that like have like 80% of the student population is like in Greek life, so like obviously they're going to be ranked a little higher. But that's something else.
So, what are these? So now they have all these. It used to be books that you get for to go that it told you about what the different colleges were all about, and they were like, do you remember them?
Yeah,
they were like yeah,
they're called
they were
barons.
Like, they were like four inches thick.
Yeah, they were barons.
Barons. Right. And so you could like literally like, and they would.
It had every rank information you could want possibly want.
Yeah.
Now we have this wacky thing called the webs.
Yeah, they still have barons. You can still get barons.
But is it? It must be online though. No.
No, I mean the last time.
Must be like a paperweight.
It was only a few years ago. I put the kids. You know, when I was putting the kids through school, we bought barons.
You used it too. Yeah.
Yeah,
those are pretty cool.
It's kind of a tradition thing for me.
But for you, BJ, what was like? What did you use? What were your resources for to narrow down where you wanted to go to college?
Well, like at the down over at the prep, they have a lot of resources that you can use. They have this thing called like Naviance, and you can like kind of like see like the stats of like other kids that had like similar GPA and SAT scores to you, and you can kind of like look to see like what's like you look up like I was looking up like top business schools and stuff like that, and then I looked to see like where my GPA and SAT scores fell and stuff of that nature, and I narrowed it down to a list about like 8 or 9, and then I realized I didn't want to go south, I wanted to stay kind of up here in the north, so I narrowed it down to about like 4 or 5, and I made my decision.
Yeah, nice. You went early.
I did. I applied very early.
And what was it called? That
early decision.
Early decision.
So that's like you know where you want to go. Like if you get in, then you pretty much have to go. Like
it's yeah, you're making a commitment. Yes. You're making a commitment.
They don't let you hold off to say yes until
yeah. Like January. I only applied to 2 schools, and like the first like the early round of admissions. Like I only applied to 2 schools. One of them was my safety school, and the other one was Syracuse. And then as soon as I got into Syracuse, I withdrew my other application.
So yeah. You really were hell bent for Syracuse.
Yeah, but like I would have had the opportunity to apply to other schools in case I like didn't get in or something. So it wasn't like.
How much does it cost to do a college application nowadays?
Probably like to send it, to send your SAT scores, which is like $8 or like $13 or something like that, and then you have to send like the fee to like send in your thing is like $50 or $75, like $40.
Now, do they?
He doesn't know.
I heard that.
No, all the schools are different. Like, it's not right. Like one set price. Right.
But I heard that there's something called the standard.
The Common App.
The Common App.
Right. So that's like. That's
did you get to do that? Or did
I did.
You?
I did. So, like, basically what it is like, it's like you fill out, like, you know, like your name, your address, like all that, like, basic stuff. And then there's, like, an essay that, like, all
was
the
that
cards.
Hard? Was that difficult?
No, it's wicked easy. and then at the end of it, they have, like, one essay, and it's like you kind of can just write about, like, whatever the hell you want. It's like it's the prompt is like if there's like one thing that like you weren't able to like depict about yourself through the like the questions in this application, then like what would you like say or what would you let talk about? And so you pretty much just write about whatever you want, like some like profound like a job experience
kind of application almost.
Yeah.
Now, what are these SAT things you're talking about?
Oh, did you take those? Did I have those?
What is that? What is that? What is that? Like SAT, SAT. What's a SAT?
Standardized something. I don't know.
You that's don't a, even know.
I don't need to know. I did great on it.
Oh, what'd you get?
Did you know what it was? What's I don't that? Know what it is either.
What, SATs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what SATs are.
I know what it is. What does it stand for?
Oh, I don't know. Standard, I don't know, application testing.
Aptitude.
Student aptitude test.
Student aptitude test, yeah.
Ah, there you go.
Did you ever take a PSAT?
Yeah, that's like the pre-student.
Pre one? Yeah. That's when I drew the line.
Are we still talking
about like, I took that as a freshman.
Are we still talking about, are we going to start talking about the fraternity?
Yeah, let's talk about the fraternity.
Nobody gives a shit about the application process.
So we want to know, like, do you have it in your mind that, yes, I'm going to definitely pledge a fraternity? And or is there a certain one that you're looking towards?
Lambda. You're kind of thinking about that a little bit.
How's it going to go?
So basically, I can't rush my first semester anyway. So, like, you can't rush until your second semester. So,
and right what now, percentage of students at Syracuse are in fraternities?
It's around 30%.
Wow.
One-third of the population are in a fraternity.
Mm-hmm. So
it's pretty high.
Yeah, I would think.
Would you rather see their house and everything first before you make a decision?
Am I just gonna like the sign on my name on a list? Like, oh yeah, this one sounds like some.
Well, I don't know.
These are like cool Greek letters to me. Like, I'll write my name on that.
Pretty much.
That's not how it works.
You got that weird Greek tattoo on your back. I don't know what that's all about.
I have several things to say about this whole fraternity choice.
Okay.
All right. One, can you maintain a 3.5 average or better? Wasted 24 hours a day.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not going to join a fraternity unless they're like cumulative like average GPA is like at least a 3.6.
Okay, so that's good. That's a
He's
good.
He's not joining
good choice.
Douchebag Lambda.
Thing two. My son Jimmy joined a fraternity and he branded himself. Are you going to do like
no? I'm
like
probably not
that kind of shit.
Are you going to join a step team?
I mean, he's got a scar on his leg, and they from a fucking hanger that was stuck in a fire. That he branded himself. And if you tell me that there's any fraternity at Syracuse
I don't wanna see like
that isn't gonna do crazy weird shit, then I think you're nuts. I think you're delusional if you believe there's a fraternity out there that's all like there's not gonna be some weird fucking thing you have to do.
Yeah, no, like, I know that. If you're a pledge,
I know that the whole what's that word?
Pledge.
No, the other way. Hazing. I know hazing is illegal. They don't do it. They do it.
No. They've been really like obviously it happens, but like they've been really cracking down. Like if you look up on like the Syracuse website, it'll be like, oh yeah, like Sigma Chi is banned for like hazing for like 5 years. And it's like
yeah, they'll crush you nowadays.
It's like well shit. Like they're not even like they got kicked off campus like for hazing. Yeah, so it's basically like so now the whole.
So you think
like,
that there is no more hazing?
No,
he's just saying that it's probably not.
Now it's like now it's like how can we haze you?
Like,
yeah, now it's like how can we haze you without the school finding out about it? So like if they brand you and you're fucking walking over there, they're like,
so it's going to be significantly less than like getting branded with a high iron.
Yeah, I mean you're not going to have to wrestle a pig naked in the middle of the football field at 12 at night,
which actually could be fun.
It's happened.
So wait, what are you going to base it on?
I'm going to be there for a whole semester, so like I think I'll be able to scope it out a little bit and
go to some parties.
Yeah. I think it'll be good. And plus, like the whole like rush like process is like very extensive. You can find it. You go in like before you even like pick one that you're going to go to. They have like a ton of like open houses where you can go and like talk to all the brothers and stuff. So if I go into one and it's like all these guys are like total douchebags, like I know that's not the one for me. Like I'm not going to go to the one with like the 2.7 cumulative GPA because I know I'm not going to fucking graduate. Like,
right. Yeah,
or you'll be alone if you do.
Yeah, you're going to have a job at McDonald's after. Yeah.
Plus, and if there's one that doesn't seem like a good fit, then I'm not going to do it. Like it's not like
alpha.
I like the whole what's your GPA average in the school.
Yeah. I've never heard anyone. Base of
wow, but that's brilliant.
PG is not anyone. I'm happy about it.
No, like, I've never heard of that. I look at the retention rate.
I think they do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at the retention rate and see like, if they have like 80 kids 1 year and then the next year they have 50. Yeah. Like,
how many people
like,
graduate from freshman to senior?
Yeah.
Like, that's probably a big part of it. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're an achiever, man. That's the difference. You're not going to school to like, party even more. You don't even play those games, so you're going to because you want to come out and make some damn money.
Yeah,
there are benefits to being in a fraternity.
Yeah, there's like a lot of
lifelong benefits to being. You say Sigma Chi.
Yeah,
Dickwad or whatever it is, you know.
Those guys are solid. Yeah. No, God, Dickwad.
My son Jimmy
couldn't get in.
There's still times when there's some guy, a money guy or some guy who's very successful, that gives him a little helping hand simply because he was part of the same fraternity.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So this week we just got announced. People Magazine's most beautiful woman of 2016, Jennifer Aniston.
Come on. She's like, so old now.
Like, how on earth... Have they forgotten the other 6 million women on the planet?
Million?
Have they forgotten Greg Henry himself?
Exactly. I'm hotter than that bitch.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
So I asked,
keep drinking, James. I get cuter.
I asked the same question on the Gloucestercast.
Oh, yeah.
Donna Artizzone says, she has a wonderful personality, but if it was me, it would be Sophia Loren.
Deeper.
Who the hell even is
Mother
that?
Jesus.
Sophia Loren.
Was she 109?
She's 85.
She's fucking... Fuck, she's dude. A fucking... She's,
is this the most beautiful happening. Old woman in the world? The most beautiful over 49?
So Jennifer Aniston...
She's pretty hot. For her age, she's definitely hot.
Was she like 60?
Wait. Well, for several reasons, this is why I have a problem with it. And I'm going to let you guys talk. I'm going to go very quickly. A, she hasn't done anything relevant in about 5 or 6 years.
Easily.
Yeah. Easily, right? Maybe 7, 8.
Or more, because the movies she's been in the last 10 years are not what I would call
there's
relevant.
There's been one or two that have been okay, right. but she hasn't done... There's no relevant...
Her TV career was over a long time
ago. Long time ago, but then she went into a couple of movies and everything else. So then, on the basis of most beautiful, she's an attractive older woman. Attractive, very attractive. She's a solid 8.5, 9. Right? But the most beautiful woman in the world. See, okay, so go ahead, take it from there. What, like, how do you justify that or what would the, I what mean, would be your criteria?
That's a huge nothing could be broader, but I mean, to me, like, when they do these stupid, like, you know, most beautiful whatever in the world, you kind of hit it on the head. To me, relevance is kind of like, I mean, dude, you could travel to, you know, the middle of fucking India, go to a small village and find a girl that's freaking stunning,
right,
and could be arguably the most beautiful in the world.
Right. But you have to understand, People Magazine is about celebrities.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying.
Celebrity.
So it's relevance. Yeah. And it's like, I just don't see her that relevant. You know, I don't get that at all. I don't know who paid who, who's got a movie coming out, whose manager's fucking who, but the fact that she even came up on the list is like, what is this, 94?
Within the top 1,000,
yeah,
right?
I
could legitimately come up with a list of 1,000
yeah,
more relevant women, like, in this day and age that, like, you could say, okay, she's had
and
a part.
It's superficial. It's People Magazine. We're not talking about, like,
fine.
You know, a spiritually beautiful woman or someone that does amazing things.
Gloria
it's just
Steinem.
Like... What did they just, like, shuffle through some old photographs and go, oh, she's beautiful? Like, who the hell, who are People Magazine? Who are these people that decide this?
Do you think it's because she's beautiful and she doesn't look like a plastic surgeon?
Well, they think she aged well?
That's not a category.
Most beautifully unaged girl over 45.
Should be a girl in between, like, the age of, like, 23 and 33.
Yeah, I agree. It should be, just because it's, we're talking about celebrity status, relevant star.
BJ,
I mean,
it's not about relevance necessarily.
You know, I still think Catherine Zeta-Jones is a beautiful woman. I'm not going to call her the most beautiful woman in the world. Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yeah.
I mean, she's probably better looking than Jennifer Aniston. She would not even be in the category. She wouldn't even count.
BJ, who would get your vote?
He's just like, Jennifer Aniston who?
Adriana Lima would be one of my, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You say Adriana Lima.
There's a woman who's even had kids and still, you know, is in the category.
Oh. I would say Sofia Vergara only because she's like winning Emmys. Modern Family is like banging it. That show is very popular.
Have you seen her without makeup though?
She's kind
of to
old.
Me. That's like half
that's
of it right there.
You got to give Jennifer Aniston this.
She's
looks
pretty
good.
Don't get me wrong.
Period.
Halle Berry looks still to me. Halle Berry is still hotter than Jennifer Aniston.
No, when the paparazzi catches her like walking down the street with no makeup or coming out of a gym or whatever, she looks as good no matter how she looks. Jennifer Aniston holds it together like 24/7.
Yeah.
She looks as good as she looks.
She would
not
break the top
50. Not to say that she's the best looking woman in the world.
All right. Top 50.
But she definitely looks as good as she looks all the time. I mean, you look at like Madonna and she's on stage and she's got like eight pounds of makeup on.
Oh, she
and she kind of looks like she's a
young woman.
We're
not even talking about women over 60, so we can just let that go.
So, James, who would get your vote?
I don't know. I'm old, man. I, you know,
actually, you don't have to worry about your wife.
To me, she's still young. She's still young to me. So I mean, that's like you guys said, she's an old lady.
So BJ, where would you go?
I'd probably go. I don't know. I'll come back to me in like
Mila,
BJ. You need to be.
Oh, I like Mila Kunis. Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis would definitely. Would definitely.
She's top five, easy.
Easily,
Kate has a thing for her.
Leaps and bounds above Jennifer Aniston. Mila Kunis is definitely.
She's definitely. Mila Kunis. I'm on the bandwagon.
There you go. All right. Well, there you go.
Joey, you?
What I said, Sofia Vergara. Based on, I'm saying a People magazine. If I was People magazine and I wanted someone that's like, you know, always I'm going to be on the red carpet and
someone that you could
is totally relevant right now because she's in that show that's like
the hot
consistently
show,
winning that show, the hottest women on the hottest show right now to me is probably her. You know who else? Oh, you know who else would get my second choice vote or maybe my first choice vote? That girl, the lead in Star Wars, that girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got a lot of grief for being like as built as she is, but she's definitely.
I thought she was very attractive. No? And that would be a kind of a cool pick because that movie was blockbuster. She played a strong female lead. Yeah. I was going to say load.
You said load. You're strong load.
Yeah.
No,
pearl necklace.
No, could you see that? Could you see her? That would have been a statement.
Yeah, that would have been a really good statement. But she's not Brazilian, so she doesn't count.
Get out of here, Craig.
I lean hard on Brazilian.
Right, maybe Jennifer Aniston needed the career boost. I mean, if you think about it, People magazine's kind of old anyway.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We're all arguing
like
about
Reader's Digest,
People magazine.
Hottest girl
When's
of the year?
The last time you turned the page of a piece of paper publication?
You know, I know what my theory was on why they gave it to her? Because she, I'm not going to say which makeup company she's with. I think she's with like L'Oreal or something like that.
Yeah,
one of them. How do you know this?
Because I'm not sure. But they're the major. When you look through People magazine, who are the paid advertisers?
Right. Exactly. Who's the big advertiser?
L'Oreal, Maybelline. Exactly. All those makeup people.
Right.
And she probably is.
Oh yeah, she's a cover girl.
Yeah, right.
I guarantee you that's how
there's something
that,
in there.
That, yeah, she's a cover girl for somebody. I guarantee.
I have to say, on a side note, I don't look through People magazine.
I haven't for probably 10.
Well, you're right. I think advertising wise, it's got to be.
You're not a housewife, so of course you don't watch.
But it was interesting to hear that she. Then
somebody's going to get some marketing mileage out of her being in that spot.
Yeah.
This is the way they're getting all that marketing mileage out of Tom Brady being in the position he's in. Mm.
I had I just want to do a shout out to Dave and Nancy Marciano for coming on the Gloucestercast yesterday, and that guy, he's in a great position because he's the every man, you know, and he gets to play the super nice family guy as opposed to some of the other guys that take on the villain role. And
yeah.
It's not scripted, they say, and everything, but whatever. But you know what I mean. But at least he gets to, relish the everybody loves him role, right?
Absolutely.
But on top of that, so they come in and they spent an hour with us and stuff. They were super super genuine and super super appreciative, and the kudos that I'd like to give them is for staying humble. While everybody is kissing their ass. Yeah. I mean, they're very humble, very nice people. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah, kudos to them. So, James, you're looking over the notes. Did we talk about this before? What was a bigger death for you, Prince or David Bowie? More emotionally affected.
For me, it's like, you know, I go back so far. It's like a different era of my life just got lopped off. So for me, it's like, okay, which decade do I miss more?
Yeah, from the '70s, the '80s.
Do I miss the '80s more? Or do I miss the '70s more? The '70s, I romanticized more than I did the '80s, but I had a lot more fun in the '80s than I did in the '70s. You know what I mean? I mean, the '80s were definitely a party decade. And it was Prince. We were, you know, That was so. So I don't know how to even answer the question other than to say, if I had to answer, I would say probably Prince, which surprises me.
Which surprises me.
That surprises me that it's Prince, but I'd have to say...
Like more classic rock and everything.
I'm a classic rock guy, but I was definitely in the 80s, and I was, while you guys were fucking shitting in your pants, I was partying my ass off.
We were teenagers when Purple Rain came out.
Yeah, I
didn't even know who Prince was. Dude. I was like, oh, Prince there. I was like, who the fuck is that? Like,
Oh, really?
Dude, yeah. Really? Wow. You shouldn't have said that out loud. Wow. You should not have said that.
I didn't say that out loud, but I was thinking it's like, that's all right. I actually do got to go in like 8 minutes.
No, I mean, Prince was like...
You changed your profile picture on fucking Facebook to an all purple background.
That was awesome. I did. I actually illustrated my
profile picture?
No, the other one. The other picture.
Oh, the banner.
The banner picture. I illustrated that picture. Like the second nice. the second I heard he died, I stopped everything and I illustrated that picture and put it on my banner. Yeah. Because Prince was like significant, man. It was like you know, the '80s, the early '80s kind of sucked musically. I mean, like nobody. It was disco was still kind of whole, you know what I mean. Like late '70s got weird, you know, and then Prince came out and did stuff. Like he was bringing funk and hard rock and roll and pop. Like he was bringing stuff into music that had been sorely missing.
Do you know,
in a way that was shot. That,
do you know Terry? You know the Time.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Terry Lewis and those guys.
Morris, yeah.
They were all in the same pack.
Yeah.
And they produced some, I mean, on top of Prince, and I mean, their influence fucking off the charts. Weren't they like the producers for Janet Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Afterwards, and I mean,
that was Morris Day. Morris Day produced, was the first, the guy that really said, yeah, Janet.
Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam were there.
Yeah, Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam, yeah.
Morris Day was an artist more than anything. But
right. Morris Day was with The Time.
Yeah.
Right. I actually love The Time.
Oh yeah, they were great too. You know, they were in Purple Rain.
They were great entertainers. Yeah, they're like the antagonist.
Definitely.
But yeah, so we didn't get to you, but I mean, you must have done 10 different posts on your Facebook. Oh, probably feed.
I keep doing it, man. There's very few, like, to me, very few musical superstars that are actual musical geniuses, and I've only met two in my life that. You know, people that weren't superstars that I knew were musical geniuses. One was a friend of mine in New Mexico called Kevin Jones. Or, you know, he's still alive, not like he's dead. And to me, okay, David Bowie was a musical genius. Prince was a musical genius. These are very, very rare superstars. But only Stevie Ray Vaughan's death and B.B. King's death compared to Prince for me emotionally.
Well, Fife Dog.
Fife was that's a different story. But I mean, Fife, but we're talking about generational, world changing superstars
like Chris Squire, the bass player for Yes. That was the hardest one for the
year. Yeah, that was hard for you. But like, you know, so Stevie Ray, see, you know,
what the fuck he was.
But you know, so very few artists. There's just, you know, like, you know, like I said, B.B. King, you know. I mean, there's very few artists that literally create and change a genre, and what Prince did
on so many levels, like just, Elvis, just, on so many levels,
just absolutely. Yeah, there's never ever. You hear this several times with certain art. There is never ever ever going to be anything that exists like Prince or David Bowie. It can't happen because of what they did on so
groundbreaking
many levels. But he's unmatched musically. You know, whether it's a producer, whether it's the, you know, the 50 fucking instruments he could play. He was an absolute perfectionist, beyond a perfectionist. There's so many things about him that I admired. I remember when Purple Rain came out. Yeah. I remember being a kid at like a garage party, you know, as a young kid. You know, we're like 12, 13, you know, drinking beers, playing darts, whatever the fuck we were doing, and Purple Rain coming out. I remember the effect that had on people, even at a little house party. When everyone heard it for the first time.
Do you remember that when that song would come on, no matter where you were, everybody would just stop.
Yeah, at the roller rink, man. I mean, it was crazy.
Wherever I was, I'd be at work or I'd be on the subway or wherever the fuck I was, that song would come on and everybody would stop and listen to it.
Yeah, but Prince like did amazing things, like James said, about the genres. I mean, before Prince, a successful pop, funk, rap group, there was really only two things that existed. Parliament, you know, P-Funk, that whole era, and then Earth, Wind, and Fire. And then Prince came along. And so he
what was James Brown considered?
He was funk. He was early funk. He was also...
Yeah, but we're talking about the 80s, not the 60s, what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. It's like, he's the first.
I'm talking about pop music. Okay. This is the MTV kind of generation. Like, Prince made MTV, is the thing. Like,
he was one of several people that forged what MTV became.
The MTV doesn't exist without Prince's success. You know, without Madonna's success, Prince's success, Peter Gabriel. There's like five or six people that made the 80s work.
MTV drove the quality of video production.
And David Bowie is also one of them, you know. But
Heart actually is one of them too.
You could go on.
Before MTV. Cars were before MTV, weren't they?
The Cars?
No, the Cars were part of that major.
Cars were a transition band.
Yeah, but what Prince did musically, a lot of people don't know about Prince, is the amount of content that he's created. He has got dozens and dozens and dozens of albums that are not released. Hundreds, possibly, they say. He's got documentaries. He's got other films. All these things, you know, that he created or petitioned people to make, you know, the films and stuff, they're all in a vault.
Wow,
I never released any of this stuff.
It was interesting that he's fighting with Warner Brothers.
They could release an album a year for the next 100 years.
Really?
From Prince. That's how much content he put out. And that's not an exaggeration. That's how much fuck... He could put a record out in a week. Literally. He could put an album together in a week. And, like, if I don't know if you've ever heard his first album called For You. It's fucking phenomenal. It is absolutely jaw-dropping phenomenal. He played every single... There's like, one guy that played some keyboards on that record. He played everything on that record. Every single bit.
Yeah.
And he demanded that.
An album yesterday called Lotus, Lotus of the Flower, or Flower of the Lotus, or something with lotus flower in it. I didn't even heard of it, and it was like a jazz album.
Yeah, he's
like pure clean.
And he's really one of the nastiest blues guitarists you've ever heard. Right. And there's stuff out there. Somebody posted something like 6, 7, 8 years ago, and Prince will get everything taken off the web if he ain't got the rights to it. And you ain't got the rights to it, that shit's getting taken down.
Yeah, 90% of what you've seen in the last 5 days was posted after he died.
It was all illegal.
There was nothing up there when he died.
But there was a blues set that somebody had posted at some point, like 8, 9 years ago on the web, of Prince. He rolled up into a club in New York. And I mean a dark, dirty jazz club, small spot. And unannounced, did a show. And I saw footage from the show. And not since like Jimi Hendrix at the Cafe Wa. In like 1967, have I ever seen anything that just blew my fucking mind about the skill and the deepness that he was doing on that stage playing the blues? I mean, to me, Prince, he's a funk god, but he's a blues man at the core. I mean, that's just what he was. I don't care what album you hear him play the solo, it's all blues bass.
So, see you guys in the next.
BJ's out.
Peace out. Be money.
Let's submit a final.
Go all right, get brother. It, kid. Go get it.
Drive safe.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's just, you know, it just will never be.
It's interesting to see what does get released. I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, to me, and what's crazy, that something nobody's mentioned this whole week, by the way.
Do you have any kids?
He had a wife, and they actually had two children. One of them was a miscarriage, and the second one only lived about 7 hours.
Whoa.
And had a bone disease. And ended up dying. Shit. So he actually tried to have children twice. I think he was married 3 times. But
wow, that's crazy.
But nobody makes the comparison with him, strangely enough, to Jimi Hendrix, which I find really strange because granted, you know, he is James Brown. He is P-Funk. He embodies Earth, Wind, and Fire and all that stuff.
Little Richard is who he gets compared to a lot.
Like,
I never understood that either. People compared him to Little Richard, and I'm thinking, why aren't you comparing him to fucking Hendrix?
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix is such a powerful comparison to him, and if Hendrix would have seen him, he'd probably pass out.
Little Richard was a character, and there's certain circles of perception that viewed Prince as a character because he was, you know, he had... certain traits.
I thought that Eric Clapton quote was unbelievable. It's like,
what did he say?
So, if somebody asked Eric Clapton, what does it feel like to be the greatest guitarist in the world? He said, I don't know, ask Prince.
There you go.
That's pretty there cool.
You, I mean, that I mean
that's
you,
Eric that, Clapton saying
tell you
that
something
shit,
right
man.
There.
Yeah.
But cool. But no, I mean, it's still like, he's just one of them guys. You just, you know, think about David Bowie. Is we knew he was sick. We knew he had cancer. By the way, go out and buy David Bowie's last record. It's haunting.
It's too creepy.
It's haunting.
I watched that one thing one time.
That video.
And I can't even. It's too creepy, man.
And it's powerful when you're an artist and you know you're going and you make a record about it. That's powerful.
Yeah, he didn't.
But for Prince to get swept away like that, that's just, you know. And I have a fear about, you know, Neil Young, Aretha Franklin, Willie Nelson. You know, some of these greats. I'm just worried. Like, we're losing like so many.
Yeah, but you
superstars.
Know what? So is this the thing? That, you know how like every week it's like some fucking monster of monster celebrities dying,
yeah. Right?
But I almost think like this is the way it's going to be for the next 20 years.
It's been for the last 20 years too. But most of you guys don't know some of these monsters,
right? Only because like we're getting older now. So when we were coming of age, these people were at their pinnacle, and now they're at the age that they're dying. So now it's hitting us.
But when John Wayne died,
James is saying like, you know. But I think there was also more. But I think there's more celebrity that like in the past 20 years or so.
People are dying young is why it's such a big deal on some of this stuff. People are dying before their time. You know, yeah. You know, celebrities always die, of course, but. Part of it is the 80s forward generation. It's the music video generation. It's the proliferation of radio. It's the proliferation of, you know, everything. Like, everything has become so big and popular and
accessible. Music industry. The 80s where music became more visual than ever. Like, YouTube is a perfect extension of MTV.
Yeah, when Ornette Coleman dies,
before
no one's going
to freak
out.
We listened to music.
Know?
We didn't see music.
But I feel now, like we're going
to
see.
When I listen to Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel, I can see that animation clear as a bell in my head.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're going to, everybody's freaking out, like when David Bowie died and everybody's freaking out when Prince died. I feel like it's just going to be like every 2 weeks we're going to be like, oh my God, that guy died. Like the world is stopping. And like,
yeah, it's a sign of age. It's a sign of age.
It probably is, right? We just don't realize it. So,
We're lucky we're in this age, not the age, like I have some friends that are older.
Well, you find out from the newspaper.
I'm in an in-between age, you know what I mean? So I have friends that are like in their 60s and 70s, and those guys, everybody's dead. It's not like, oh, people are dying, I can't believe how many people have died this year. Yeah. There comes a point when it's not like, oh, I can't believe who just died. Yeah. It's like, I can't believe everybody's fucking dead.
Yeah.
You get to a place where everybody's dead. All your family, all your friends, and all your heroes.
Ugh. Shudder. I'm shuddering.
So we're lucky that, you know, we're at a point where, like, Prince died. Like, he's 57 years old, so he was a kid.
Young. Yeah.
He had a half a life left in him, if you know.
So we got tomorrow night is the Celtics. They're playing Atlanta.
What a game was last night.
My Lord. Did you watch the first one, too?
I caught the last 10 minutes of the first one when they almost stole it back from Atlanta. Missed the second and the third.
So it's tough.
No. Yeah, caught the third.
These games have been so. I have not enjoyed Celtics basketball for
5 years.
25 years.
25. Come on, dude.
No, I didn't really watch.
You didn't watch the Big Three?
I'll be per. I'm gonna. If you want me to lie, I can act like I did.
No, I don't want you to lie.
I didn't watch it. I was really busy working. My daughters were just kind of born. I was just too busy to stay up for those games.
That's understandable.
The last games that the Celtics were really relevant for me was way back Larry Bird.
What's crazy is this was evident last year when all of a sudden this team was winning games and Brad Stevens went from kind of being clowned as like this young guy, what are the Celtics thinking hiring this young coach, to everyone realizing, holy shit, this guy's actually smart. Yeah. He's really smart.
Yeah.
And then last year they squabbled into the playoffs. All of a sudden the Celtics were in the playoffs when they weren't even really supposed to be contenders. And everyone was like, well, they should tank the season because they don't want to get in the playoffs and screw up the lottery. And now it's legitimate. Now everyone realizes, no, this team's legitimate. And it's really a big part is Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens. I'll tell you, I watching Isaiah Thomas play basketball is
it's pretty exciting.
So enjoyable. That guy's got so much poise.
He's not Iverson, but it is awesome.
It
is awesome.
He is so enjoyable to watch. It's over the top. I've only watched two games where he's played in, and I am such a huge fan. You're in
love. It's awesome.
Really?
You're a green teamer, man. You're back.
I'm back. I'm on board. I will be watching tomorrow night. I'll be watching every game till they are done. I took my daughters to a playoff game last year against Cleveland.
Nice.
And it was fun. I mean, it was a blast. Playoff, and just like those hockey games. We talked about that last time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Marcus Smart, Isaiah Thomas.
It's very exciting to see
happen. Tomorrow night. Have they decided if it's going to be 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock tomorrow?
I don't know yet, actually.
All right.
I didn't see.
We'll find that out.
Very exciting. Yay for the Green Teamers. Very happy.
Green Teamers. So I'm driving in my car today, and I hear this ad, a radio ad for an auto dealership. And they said, for the next week, if you... we're giving $200 referral fees for anyone that refers you to buy a vehicle at XYZ dealership.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, how stupid do people have to be to not understand that sales manager is going to factor that $200 fee into what they're going to
price
into their final price?
Yeah, it's already on the window of the car.
Right, but like if they're going to give a referral fee out. That means, like, you know how there's obviously there's so a $30,000 car on a dealership's lot, on the sticker, never sells for $30,000.
Right.
It's going to sell for $24,000, $25,000 or whatever.
Right.
Right? And but that sales manager has a lowest number.
Right.
They have a number where they're going to accept or not going to accept.
Because it dips into their pocket afterwards.
Right. But when they say that they're going to give a $200 referral fee
on a $30,000 car, $200 is like saying, I'll give you a nickel.
Yeah, I'll give you
But that means if their bottom line before was $26,000,
now it's
$26,200.
Right, absolutely.
And who doesn't understand? I mean, for people to fall for this marketing, you
got to
be a
real fucking stuff. Well, it's just like the $1,000 cash back. Like, what, really? Like, they don't mark it up a grand.
If I never heard your ad, I could still walk in the door and get $2,000 or $3,000 from you.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Like, people can't fall for this. Can maybe 1% of the population fall for it, and that's worth it for them to do? I don't know.
Ridiculous.
James, it is kind of weird to me that kind of marketing, because I've been in advertising my whole life, and I've never really understood that kind of marketing. It's like, okay, so the question to me is, what segment of the population, what percentage is that dumb? Is it like, okay, we're going after 10%, or are they going after 70% of the population? Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's 10%, I'm okay with that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like that old George Carlin to people, like, you know, half the people that you meet are, you know, below average or whatever. Do you know what I mean? But if it's like 70% of the people fall for that,
I'll give you an example.
That disturbs me.
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Of like, you see, we assume a lot of things, right?
Right, we do.
When we assume, we make asses out of you and me.
That's correct.
Absolutely, right? So when we say, when we're doing technological things, and we say, oh yeah, you know, go check this place out on the web,
right,
we assume people are able to pull up Google.
We're going to get that conversation. Don't even get me started on that conversation.
As we're going.
Where do I find this?
So we have at the top of the blog of Good Morning Gloucester, we have it posted, the calendar.
Eric says hi.
Oh, nice.
Our boy Eric.
Yeah.
We miss him.
In the Philippines.
We miss him. Are we supposed to talk about that? I thought that was on the undercover.
Well, it's fucking out now.
It's now. But anyway, you were talking about
People won't use Google. They won't do research. They won't do searches on the web. And so we offer, you know, these. James is doing the arts calendar.
I do the arts calendar, and I do basically art advertising for artistic events, art-related events.
Right. And
I don't really report on them so much as I can.
Catherine,
I post the announcements of upcoming events.
But explain to me. So,
I don't. It's so here's the thing. I have people that send me press releases. I mean, that's basically what my job is to take a press release and, you know, tweak it to whatever extent, you know, that is appropriate for Good Morning Gloucester and then post it. It's not a hard thing to do. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. But what really amazes me is several things. One is how many people there are in these local organizations whose job title includes the word marketing or public relations or advertising or I know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, if their job title has any of that, clearly what I'm receiving, they're not qualified for the work. Did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to say that out loud.
No, that's fine.
But I'm telling you, the stuff that I do get really great press releases that are nice and tight.
Yep.
Almost all of the press releases, and I'm saying the word all here, are print-related press releases. They're developed by somebody who knows how to put together a decent press release. It's a quality press release. It's well-written. The format's okay. But it's for the print medium. It's not for the digital medium.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're sending it to a digital medium. And I've even actually replied to some of the people that I'm semi-impressed by. And I reply and I say, I recommend that you develop two press releases, one for print and one for digital. And that's all I say. Yeah. I don't tell them how to do it because it's not, you know, I got enough trouble figuring how to do what I'm doing, you know? Oh, he's back.
Is that... Oh, hey. Very nice.
Hey, kids.
Very nice.
Hey.
Oh, there's still some grilled meat left.
There we go.
There's
grilled meat left, baby.
Some meat.
Rick Dowsett in the house.
And there's also some...
He's grabbing meat and beverages as we speak.
And yoink. Don't forget the defense Reese's Peanut Butter Cups because my boy Craig got those because he says the Patriots are going to need some good defense after James, it happens all
and,
the time.
And that doesn't even... very, very, very few of them are capable of putting together a public relations strategy that utilizes the internet, the web, and how to do that. That's the ones that are good, that's their problem. Most of them... send me, like, I had one guy send me like invites to his Facebook events page, and you know, and actually I made the mistake of the first couple of times kind of reconstructing the events page into a post, and then I emailed him back and said, this is not adequate. I'm a volunteer,
right?
Like, okay, nope, you're not paying for this. You're getting access to what is it, 50,000, 500,
average, like 55,000, but 40,000 to 80,000. Average 55.
Right, but for the half a day that it's up, you're getting like 2,000 views. As an old ad guy, we always pay for, like, you know, like I pay percentage based on views. Like if
this is getting very inside fucking baseball, James.
Right. Okay.
You're talking about advertising and shit. So
yeah, but that's the whole point. Yeah. Is these people do it for a living. Right.
They should know that.
It's in their job title. They have a little email with me at the bottom. It says marketing director of blah 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 blah.
That proves that they're fucking absolutely clueless, man.
Like, good for you, because you got someone to hire you to do that shit, and you ain't even close to capable.
You snow people off
the... So here's, I'm going to take it to the next level. So they do put up, so some people will contact us. They say, we'd love to come on the podcast. So yeah, come on. Yeah, we'd love to have you. Come on, sit in, you know, we'll talk about
need stuff like that.
I would never deny a beverage.
So what kind of beverage do you want? I have... There's whatever beer there's in here, but I also have the cabinet.
I'd have a beer.
So we spend... Thank you. We'll spend an hour taping a podcast with these people, promoting their product, whatever, or service, whatever it is.
It's very generous of you.
Post it on the blog, hyperlink back to their business and stuff, and then you go and look on their Facebook page, and they didn't even fucking share it to their Facebook page. They don't share it on any of their social media things.
And I have that in my response email.
I mean, it happens more often than not. I'm gonna tell you, it happens 70% of the time.
More than 70%. I have it in my email. I have it in my reply. Every time someone sends me a post, once I posted it, Once I scheduled it for a post, I hit reply, and I said, thank you for your submission. Please, you know, it's going to be on this such and such day. Please remember to share this on your social media, because that's the only thing that we get out of it. Right. That's all we get out of it. All we get out of it is if they share it on their social media, we might get a new viewer. Right.
Yeah.
Out of the 250,000 viewers that we have, we might get 250,001. From their little share. Do they do it? No. Bastards.
70% of the time they don't.
70% of the time they don't.
Right?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Hey, ask Rick the David Bowie Prince question.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Where does this fall for you? I want to guess. Let me guess.
Don't guess.
Guess in your head. Don't guess. Tell
us what your guess is.
What was a more emotional hit for you, David Bowie's death or Prince's death? And take into consideration the newness of Prince's announcement as opposed to when it happened for David Bowie for you.
I'm not going to make any friends with this. Both of them were nearly inconsequential for me.
Wow, interesting. Wow.
I don't own a David Bowie song. I don't own a Prince song.
How old are you?
47.
And Prince did nothing for you?
No.
Interesting.
Nor Bowie?
No.
What did you listen to, New Kids on the Block?
No. Listen to the Stones, the Doors.
You were classic rock back then, so Prince did nothing for you.
It's just not that I don't think there's anything wrong. I just, you know, like I know some of the Bowie songs. Some you know, probably whatever songs. I hear on the radio is probably pretty much it.
Bowie was in.
But you didn't buy their albums.
No. I didn't buy a whole lot of albums anyway. Listen, Columbia House, where I'd get like 7 for a penny. And
oh, that's going back, man.
You know? And then I'd get like.
Bowie was inconsequential to me, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, I appreciate both of them for their artistry and.
Right.
You know, pioneers and that type of thing, but it wasn't the emotional hit that I'd see other people on
Give
Facebook.
Give me an example. Who would be an emotional hit?
Yeah.
How about? All right. So let me ask you this question.
No, just simple, who, who's
what,
who,
what about
who
Chris Squire?
Who?
Chris Squire?
Nothing. He has no fucking.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, Billy Squire. You talking about?
No, Chris Squire. Nobody knows who I'm talking about. Okay. Forget about it.
Was there anybody? Was there?
There's like 7 people.
Who would be the hit? Like who's emotionally powerful to you musically?
That their death would be?
No, that they'd walk in here right now and they're alive right now that you go, holy shit.
No, yeah, their death would be.
I mean, I'd walk in if before they died, Bowie and Prince walked in, I'd be, holy shit.
No, but somebody whose death actually would have
I'd
say probably Sinatra.
He died already, though, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When he died, I remember going, oh, man. I think part of it was because.
How many Sinatra albums did you have as a kid?
As a kid? None. But as a young man, I had quite a bit.
So who growing up before you were 20 that...
Who did I listen to before I turned 20?
Anybody who wasn't...
That would be devastating.
Kiss, The Doors, Stones.
Zeppelin.
Monkees, because I was, you know, as little. A lot of Weird Al Yankovic. A lot of Dr. Demento. Nice. And then probably whatever else would play on the radio, because... When you don't have a lot
so
of money,
Al,
you don't
Weird,
buy
Weird
a lot
Al would
of,
be a hit.
You don't buy a lot of music.
Weird Al would be a hit then. If Weird Al got hit by a car tomorrow and died,
that would be a hit for me too.
You'd be a little bit shocked. You'd be like, holy shit.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh man. Oh, I'd be.
We lost a legend.
What a shame. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's too bad.
But nobody emotionally to the point where.
When Clint Eastwood dies, I'll have an issue.
You'll shed a tear.
I don't know that I'll cry. I think I'll be like, ah.
I lost
your favorite
cry.
What was your favorite piece of work by Clint
Eastwood? I was a little shocked actually.
By Eastwood?
Yeah, I
think mine was
tears.
The boxing movie. Really
oh, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I'd say Outlaw Josie Wales. I can watch anytime, any point.
Yes.
And like it's brand new. It's absolutely.
You know, love that movie.
Worms going to eat. You know, Buzzard's going to eat same as Worms. You know, Deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. Heartbreak Ridge is always because he's just.
The Hanged Man.
He's just sort of going against. He's fighting the tide, you know? He's changing the culture, and it's just there's something powerful about that.
For me,
Dirty
the
Harry
hanged,
movies
for me,
are always.
The Hanged Man.
Frank Sinatra was. The first Dirty Harry movie was written for Frank Sinatra.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But he was doing some other movie. Man with the Golden Arm, maybe? But he was doing another movie he couldn't get out of, so then it went to Clint Eastwood. But it was like, it's an interesting. I'm not really questioning myself about my music.
This makes me think of something slightly
different. Well, you
still
have an emotional attachment to musicians.
So speaking of emotional attachment, it makes me think of one thing quick, Joey. So, because he's mentioning,
anyway.
You know, different, you know, actors and stuff. So who would be, maybe starting with you, Joey, then who would be the one person, period, any time, any genre, any era, actor, singer, whatever, who'd be one person, if you had a choice of meeting them in person live, or like to come through that door right now and sit down next to you, if you could pick one person that come through that door, who would it be?
That's alive or?
No, alive or dead. Okay. One person.
At any age.
Who's the one person that you would say, there's one person in this fucking universe that the history of mankind, you know, whether it's Kim Kardashian or, you know, talking about anybody.
Oh, God.
Who would you want to meet coming through that door right now, dead or alive? Like, in other words, I want to get to who's the most emotionally attached person you would just be like.
Caitlin Foley.
For fuck's sake.
Artificially emotionally
you're
attached.
You're fucking fired, dude. You're not doing another podcast. That's some pussy bullshit.
No, you know what that is? It's reminiscent of a previous podcast.
I'm talking about a super celebrity, not who's listening.
I'm being totally perfectly honest with you.
Oh, fuck's sake. You're going to see her in 20 minutes. I didn't ask who you're going to spend time with.
I'm so happy.
Fuck you. Dude, I said who? That's a superstar.
Oh, we just sent it to Joey Lala. Okay. Oh my God. Joey Lala. There must be a purple dinosaur around here somewhere.
Makes me happy.
Make pretend your girlfriend's not going to listen to this.
Dude, she's not going to. She doesn't listen to any of our podcasts.
Stop.
She doesn't.
Okay, pick someone else besides who you're fucking, Joey. Jesus fucking Christ.
Good thing she's not listening.
I can't believe you did that.
Oh, bro.
Jesus only one person.
Christ.
I'll just be the
Come honest. On, dude. All right, honest. So pick somebody.
Okay.
Pick
somebody. A celebrity that would give have me an the emotional goddamn impact
that,
on
no,
you.
No, give Joey the respect to answering this question without being a D-bag for that. My girlfriend. Fuck you. Pick somebody.
Dude,
Joey.
I was being honest.
Now lie to me and tell me who you really want to see. I mean, imagine, dude. Fucking Neil Armstrong. I don't know. Fucking Jesus. Anybody.
I don't know. I used to love Bruce Springsteen. Used to be my favorite musician, but he hasn't done anything for a while. And every time I go see him in concert, he plays like, all the new stuff that I don't want to hear. Fuck.
Who would you want to drink a beer with right now? Anyone in the history of mankind? A
celebrity.
Anyone.
Famous person.
Yeah. Well, obviously. Famous, yeah.
Well, I'm saying famous. That's what he
doesn't
say.
So he doesn't say his goddamn mom or his fucking girlfriend. Maybe Hugh Hefner. Really?
Oh, Hugh Hefner. That's a good answer.
I mean, how you went from your girlfriend to the king of porn. That's what I'm talking about.
Wait. But he doesn't mean to come here and drink. He wants to go over there and drink.
I would just like to. No.
Who would you like to invite you to dinner? Hugh Hefner.
I'm in on that one, too.
Let me change it. Whose house you want to get invited to dinner?
You don't think that guy has great fucking stories?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Who's going to have better stories?
Isn't he dead, though?
No.
But who would have better stories than him?
He looks dead.
Huh? But would he tell him?
Well, I don't know.
So who would you want? Yeah, James.
James, go ahead.
Hef, man. I mean, why'd you bring Hef into the equation? Hef for Jesus Christ for two totally different reasons.
It wouldn't be Jesus for him.
No. I don't believe in him.
The guy can raise people from the dead. He can walk on water. He could change. He could change.
Hugh Hefner does all this and more.
If he could change water into wine, imagine where he can get beer from.
More orgasms are probably responsible, through the magic of what Hugh Hefner brought into our lives.
Jesus too. People are like Jesus Christ.
Right, so who would it be?
Hef.
No,
said Hef, I can't. How could I say anything different?
Dude, you're bringing up bass players from Yes earlier, so you're gonna have to go deeper than Hef. Come on.
Okay. If I could hang out with anybody right now, just walk anybody, in, hang out, drink some beers, we're grilling, fucking beer, we're fucking having a good time. It would be George Thorogood.
Wow,
just Delaware Destroyers.
George Thorogood. I think George Thorogood.
I actually did buy Thorogood.
I think that he would be really fun in a homie cast. Like, I think he would be perfect. Rick, and as a matter of fact, I'm gonna see if I can get him.
How about Johnny Cash? How much fucking? How many?
Oh, Johnny Cash. Yeah,
Johnny Cash. See, now I want to just for a second about the music I haven't owned, like Prince and Bowie. Up until when I used to be married, I'd ask that every Christmas would be one album of some of a band. Got my first Beatles album, my first Rush album, my first Grateful Dead album, CDs, and there was one other one too. Maybe
Doors?
Maybe Billy Joel? I don't know. No, Doors I had back in middle school. But it struck me that there's a lot of music. Like, I don't have any knowledge.
You weren't a big album collector, I'm guessing.
Oh, God, no. No, it was all came down to what, you know.
What was on the radio?
Oh, what you could afford. And my scrimping and saving as a young, young child was, had to be Kiss albums because I was 10, you know?
Man, I remember.
Oh, so, man. Phenomenal. Kiss. Remember Kiss? But I'd say, so who could I meet? You know?
Well, Gene Simmons would be a good one, probably.
He'd be yeah. Party. He'd be a party.
Steve Martin.
The comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be fun to party
Absolute
with
Renaissance man. Right. The guy is brilliant. Started
on,
off you know,
on many levels.
Oh,
acting,
music, playwriting, music. You know, comedy, has 2 Grammys.
Yep, you're right.
Comedy, writing, yep. Playwright. It's just
good answer.
I think he's
half his
quintessential talent. You know,
nice.
But I think as far as stories go, you never know what stories they're going to tell. You know, they have that question a lot of times people have is like, what 3 people would you invite to dinner? And everyone goes, oh, Jesus Christ, Einstein, and.
Yeah, they could all be really dumb.
Socrates. And you go, well, what the hell am I bringing to the conversation if those 3 guys are there? I'm going to have 3 guys
give
who
me some drinks.
I'm going to have 3 guys who ignore me while they talk to each other. I don't want that, you know? Right,
right. Exactly.
Or if you could have a boudoir time with any woman from history. You know? What good does it do for me to be with Pamela Anderson besides
next question.
If I wanted to get hepatitis? You know? At some point, it's got to be, it's not, you know, I don't know, Mother Teresa because no one else has been there before. You know? I'm just saying, at some point you gotta come up with an answer that's like beyond the most obvious.
I don't know, Hef's so good answer.
Well, I think Hef's a great answer.
I'm a big fan of the Hef answer.
I think mathematically we could set some parameters and figure out like a formulaic way of who's going.
It's almost like art, though. Like you know, it's all it's subjective.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's the fun of the conversation.
So you have an answer.
Well, I was on the fence about it, and he mentioned a comedian. So, but I was sort of thinking Red Fox, but I'm gonna go with Jimi Hendrix over Red Fox.
I was thinking Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix would, if I could pick one person to come through the door and have a beer with me right now, for fucking Hendrix to walk through that door right now, I couldn't.
But what if he came in? He was a total dick.
You know, that's a problem with Hendrix. You have
I thought Jim Morrison, and then I'm like, but if he came in and he was a total dick, I'd be like, oh.
I heard Jim Morrison was kind of a dick, actually.
Oh, he was drunk and just...
Oh, drunk and
he was shy was or just total...
narcissist.
Right, right.
Yeah, totally over the top.
Yeah.
Storage almost full. Look at that shit.
Dun, dun, dun. Because
we're crushing it.
Do we need a topic or homework assignment for the next podcast?
Sure, go ahead. Give it.
I challenge... each of you, particularly if you consider yourself a fan of baseball throughout your life, to come up with the best 1 through 9 playing the field, the best starting lineup of double initial players, like Mickey Mantle, M.M.
You mean
Jesus?
Their names are alliterations. Is what this called?
When you're going A A B B.
Well, if
alliteration
you're,
would be
Michael Moore, Albert. Yeah, well, alliterations like that.
Okay, yeah.
Michael Moore would be an alliteration.
Okay. But double initials, position by position.
Yeah. I won't.
Anyone interested through...
Only because
I would have to Google and...
You couldn't go from your memory?
Fuck no.
Mickey Mantle, Dom DiMaggio.
You've obviously thought about this. I haven't.
Years ago, but I'm just saying there's classics. I mean, Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa at some point, Barry Bonds.
Only because you've said these, I would never like my mind that yeah, exercise.
I think it would be more based Google off the fact that the name's alliteration than that they're best at their position. So I mean, it's kind of part of it, I guess.
All right.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
The hell would I have to do?
That's a little bit too inside baseball.
Okay.
Although you must bring that lineup to the next homie cast.
Yes, bring it. Bring it.
Yeah,
be very interested.
I think that's a given. The rest of us probably will be Googling it at some point.
Exactly.
I mean, it's going to come to me to Google
it. It wouldn't even be a lineup. It'd just be like, come up with 11 guys.
11 guys that have double dudes.
Come up with 9 dudes, you know.
Well, yeah, but if you... How do you search for something? That's, to me, it's a search challenge.
Okay, here we go.
It's a Google
search. I got one. I just came up with something. Okay. Right now, this is very good.
Is it homework?
All-time classic beauty out of these 5 women.
Sophia Loren.
No, we've already gone down the...
Oh, wait. You got 5? She's on the list.
Is Caitlin on the list? Because
that's... No, she's not on the list.
All right.
These are celebrities.
Okay.
Marilyn Monroe, Cindy Crawford, Adriana Lima, Bridget Bardot, Sophia Loren.
You know mine. It's Adriana Lima, dude. Cut the check.
Adriana Lima, Sophia Loren.
I know Adriana Lima. Yeah. I might have to go with Bridget Bardot. Oh, man. I loved Bridget Bardot when I was younger. Like, just absolutely. I remember being a little kid and being like, whoa. Almost the same reaction I got when I saw Jessica Lange's boob for the first time in King Kong in 1976. Oh, yeah, that was my first cinematic boob.
Right. There's a cinematic boob.
Skinny bitch.
Oh, wait. Let me see. Yeah, she's pretty good.
I'm going to have to go with, Sophia Loren.
Sophia Loren, timeless. She held up for a while, too. What do you got?
Oh, without hesitation, Marilyn.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, without hesitation.
I remember in 1983 being in Spain on a field trip and on some type of rack. There was black and white 8x10s in Spain.
Oh, photos
of like all headshots and stuff of Marilyn Monroe in Spain in 1983, and every fucking one of them was like
killer.
Mind bending, like
cut the jet.
What? And I was just like, oh my fucking lord, this woman. Yeah, for me, it's Marilyn Monroe. And you know, it's funny because she's a blonde and I'm not into blondes anymore. Back then, I don't know.
Actually, she's a redhead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, fake blonde.
Yeah. And actually, early Marilyn,
faking the fuck
redhead. Brunette. Unstoppable.
Number two. I don't know. Cindy Crawford for me. Number two, though.
She was gorgeous back. I mean, she's still a pretty
chick. Jesus, baby. Huh? Yeah. And she looks just like Kate.
Oh, for fuck.
No appreciation for Bridget Bardot?
No, I would say she's my number two.
I'd say as far as the alliteration beauties go,
she's
the number one alliteration beauty.
She didn't
age. Oh, no. Cindy Crawford could be there, too.
She didn't age particularly well.
Who?
Bridget Bardot.
Yeah, she didn't age.
We're doing alliteration. Well. Marilyn Monroe, Bridget Bardot, Cindy Crawford. Alliterations.
Wow. They are alliterations.
Right? There may be something super powerful about repeating
letters. Homework just changed.
We didn't mention alliteration. Bo Derek.
Remember Bo Derek?
I do remember Bo. I was never very impressed with Bo Derek.
I just think Claudia Schiffer was kind of...
She was just so monumentally stupid that I couldn't get over how stupid she was.
I thought
just
Anna because Nicole she was good Smith looking. Was...
The
was,
fact that she was considered a 10 surprised me.
Well...
Because to me, a 10 has to include somebody that I can at least understand what I'm saying to her. You know what I mean?
She's so dumb. Okay.
She was just
But I think
so,
it's being one of the first people to run down a beach.
I got a quick
braless in slow motion.
I had a quick one.
That was very brand new in cinema.
I love cinematic.
Today, nothing.
Cinematic moment.
That was long before Baywatch. They knew how to slow-mo bounce them. All right, so in the order of your favorite, curious to know everyone's, redhead, blonde, brunette, what's your order? 1, 2, 3, top first. I mean, some of us might be obviouser than others. I don't know. Go ahead, James.
Blonde, redhead, brunette.
We got the blonde, redhead, brunette.
Yeah.
Joey.
I used to be. It never was blonde first, but it's brunette. And I would have said blonde before redhead, but now I'm going to say redheads are either over the top fucking smoke shows or hideous. There's no in between.
I take that personally, but go ahead.
Is that true or not?
I don't know about hideous. I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm only going to consider you're right, something you're right.
There's
not
the gap. The gap is definitely significant.
So you got
significant. It's also shading.
Blondes and brunettes, there's a slower transition.
Well,
oddly enough, like I think here's more brown.
Dirty, well, yeah. It's the gray is coming in too. But.
You're a fucking guy. We're not talking. We're talking about women's.
No, it was
joking. No, but he was making a comment
women.
About.
We talking about the women.
You said redheads were hideous. All right. How much for brunette, redhead, blonde?
Yeah.
Brunette, blonde, redhead.
And I'm brunette, redhead, blonde. So, three out of four redheads are in the fucking middle.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Why do you guys hate blondes?
Just bore me.
I think it's overdone.
Blonde was my top.
Just bore me.
I think they're overdone.
I think it's overdone.
You said three out of four. Most
often than not, the blondes are the fake out of all three.
Yeah.
You know, usually...
I thought we were talking authentic.
We are.
I mean, a fake blonde is not.
Well,
I mean, like when you say Marilyn Monroe to me, I see a redhead.
Name me a super hottie natural blonde.
I see
blonde.
Her as a blonde.
You know? Well, when you say Marilyn Monroe to me, I see a redhead.
I'm saying whatever she's perceived as.
Britt Eklund. is your natural blonde.
Wow.
Don't even know her.
Speed. She's Swedish, right?
Yeah.
Interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Very.
But and given this day of the fads, as I understand it, the clean, waxen downstairs look, the phrase, does the carpet match the drapes, is
irrelevant. Irrelevant.
Yeah, cuffs and collar. Do cuffs and collar.
I didn't realize how much it costs to get that laser stuff done. It's like in the thousands.
It depends, I think.
Yeah. Zero hair kind of freaks me out, guys.
I'm not a fan.
Zero I mean, I'm hair, fine with zero hair.
I like the air,
the runway, the runway,
or even like a little triangle or something.
Yeah, like
zero something. Hair is like
a patch. Yeah, a patch is fine.
Like yo, babe.
I mean, I don't want some hedges. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to break out the weed whacker.
How far? I mean, I've been in the hedges.
Man, I mean, we've all been in the weeds,
I'm okay with the hedges.
I'm okay with
these. I'm okay with hedges, but I'm not okay with absolute fucking
super clean. Not a problem.
How funny is it when you see some of that old porn in the fucking
and it's just a chick
goes from her ass all the way up to her fucking thighs.
It's funny. we were walking the other day, Hannah and I were walking, and actually walked past a beaver hut, and I made a couple beaver jokes, and she was like, oh my god, where did that ever come from, you know, a beaver? And I thought, like, I don't know, because it looks like a fucking head of a furry beaver. I don't know. Like, think about that shit. It is kind of funny, like
right.
a beaver.
Well, they don't use that term as much.
Leave it
to
beaver, you know? I thought it was always funny. But yeah, the old school Playboys and penthouses and whatever.
Yeah, we used to call it a beaver.
Where it literally looked like, you know.
Because it was a beaver.
Someone just got a haircut and it fell in her lap. Exactly.
I mean, it was like at least 2 inches off of her
skin. It was an afro. It was a snatch fro.
It was a snatch fro.
A snatch bro. Yeah,
that's a good
that's a throwback, man.
Well, you know,
I wonder if that'll come back just like the 80s did.
Which is good.
I guarantee you it, like everything's
full circle. Everything.
But I don't know, maybe they didn't have that technology
when it's like
back
8
then.
Inches off. just absolutely.
You think because they didn't have the technology back then, that's why?
No, razor blade's been around for a while.
Razor blades.
Dude, the French have been doing it for 200 years.
Dude,
the French have been doing it for over 200 years.
I think
and waxing.
Yeah, they've been waxing.
Waxing.
Yeah, they've been waxing forever. The French have been doing it forever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The electrolysis is something altogether different.
Oh, well,
yeah, but waxing, it wasn't electrolysis that had...
It was the waxing.
That had
was
bald, that had bald occur. It was waxing that had bald occurred.
I can't believe this.
Or it was some kind of a... I don't know. Where did the bald occur? Like, when did that happen? I don't even remember when that happened.
What's that?
Bald, like
bald?
Bald pussies. I mean, I don't.
It's
like an oxymoron. You can't even. Can you say bald pussy and not experience oxymoron?
What are you talking
about? Oxymoron means two words that don't mean
pussy.
Yeah, pussy's got some fuzz. It's a pussy. It's not one of those bald Asian cats. It's a pussy. You know what I mean?
All
right. Trim that pussy.
There we go.
You gotta do me like that, man?
Right now.
I can't wait to listen to what I missed before I got back here.
Oh,
no, it's all the good stuff. Just happened.
We just had to start kicking it in the balls here, man.
We were talking. Do me like that? Huh? Why you gotta act like a bitch when I'm with you? I pay for the bed and never even slept in it. I pay for that crib and never stepped foot in. And now somebody else is eating all the pudding. Things change, now my...